It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! It is hump day. Welcome, I am Kim Munson, and we're going to have some great conversations today. In studio with me are two amazing women, Susan Kochevar. She is the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. It's great to have you here, Susan.
Morning.
And Patty Kurgan, you are a small businesswoman. You are a researcher. It's great to have you here as well.
Thank you for having me, and good morning to all your listeners.
Well, we're going to be talking about some things that could really affect Colorado and the family leave potential legislation that may be coming down the pike, this forced minimum wage, what that's doing, possibly single payer, and then, of course, we're going to be talking about impeachment today. So it's great to have you here. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And remember, Nazi stands for the National Socialist German Workers Party. And typically, over time, people, everyday hardworking people, don't do very well under socialism. It gets down to elites, the haves and the have-nots. And we're seeing that play out in some of our states, such as California, where public policy is picking winners and losers, and that's one of the things that this whole family leave bill will be doing as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. If something is a good idea, you really shouldn't have to use force to make it happen. We continue to, in Colorado, to see the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, communications, and data. And government, Susan, I'm going to throw this over to you. Government does have some functions. It should be limited. These things that I just mentioned, government should not take them over. They should stay out of the way, but make sure that they can thrive in a free market.
Yeah, very, very limited functions. One of the issues is we have so much government all the way down to the local level. There is no way you can run your business and pay attention to it. All of the boards and commissions and city council and county commissioners and all of the boards and study groups and different things that the state does, you can't even follow legislation at the state capitol. There's so much legislation that comes through, it's impossible. And it's even more than death by a thousand cuts. At this point, we're at billions of cuts, and it's really starting to, it's going to really start to impact Colorado terribly.
I think so. And, you know, Patty, we've been talking, and nationally, Colorado is held as kind of a bellwether, as a great economy. And I would submit to you that it is because of TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. And it's kept government somewhat in check, even though government has continued to grow more than inflation plus population. It has at least kept it somewhat in check. But we are seeing all these kind of workarounds, and if this continues, I think what Susan said is this great economy, I mean, we can really take it off the rails.
Well, you're talking about the workaround. The workaround is fees, fees, and fees. They're not calling it taxes anymore. So even with the paid family leave, they're talking about a premium.
Yeah.
Right. So instead of asking us, the employees and the employers, if we think this is a valid and good program that they want instituted by the state of Colorado, they're going to go behind our back, say, we know better, we're just going to ram this down your throat, here it is, and give us your dollar through a fee and not a tax.
You know, and we are Coloradans. Colorado was built on rugged individuals, and, not on our watch. We're gonna fight this big time, so it's great to have you ladies here.
And to Patty's point, everything, the answer to everything that comes out of all these bureaucrats is fees and taxes, to the point where CDOT now is talking about taxing Uber, Lyft, and Amazon, anybody that delivers anything to you, as if those folks don't pay taxes in their gases. It's absurd.
It is amazing. Steve, you look like you wanted to jump in here.
I just want to piggyback on what Patty just said.
We know better, so we're going to do this. And, oh, if we happen to buy some votes on the way, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Aha, it's all related, isn't it? So, well, I want to say thank you to Steve and to Patty and to Keith and Zach and Charlie for your good support, your great work. And also thank you to you listeners. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, soul, mind, and body. We are Americans, we're Coloradans, and we need to remember that. The show, you can get all the recaps at my website. It's Kim Munson, that's spelled MONSON.com. And email me at Kim@KimMunson as well. And I'm just a little bit behind on those emails. I love hearing from you, so I'll be back to all of you by the end of the week on that. Our quote for today is Jean de La Fontaine. He was a French fabulist, and one of the most widely read French poets of the 17th century. He's known above for all his fables, which provided a model for subsequent fabulists across Europe and numerous alternative versions in France and French regional languages. As a kid, do you guys remember reading fables all the time and you know, how it told stories about life?
Yes.
Kind of forgotten it. Aesop's fables, you know, all those things. Anyway, he lived from, Steve, 1621 to 1695. And I chose this quote because as we look at what is going on with impeachment and the actions of people versus what they say, he says, by the work, one knows the workman. By the work, one knows the workman.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, he lived from 1621 to 1695. I know that always kind of... You always like to think about how long ago these people said these very wise things.
I'm just sitting here thinking, take that simple quote and apply it to government. And I'll leave it there.
You'll leave it at that. Okay, I have three funnies for you. Are you ready?
Hey, I cheated. I looked ahead. These are funny.
Okay.
Why did the radical Boulder, Denver activist get so excited when she finished the jigsaw puzzle after only 6 months? Because on the box it said from 2 to 4 years. Number two, what did the radical Boulder Denver activist name her pet zebra? Spot. Number three, what did the radical Boulder Denver activist say when she knocked over a priceless Ming vase at the Museum of Science and History? Oh, it's okay. I'm not hurt.
That one.
You like that one?
That one is... Yeah, it's all about me. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, just a few things I want you to know about. As you know, I am an entrepreneur. I buy my radio time. Susan, you are a valued partner, and I greatly appreciate it. Hooters Restaurants is as well. And they are raising money with Little Ricci's New York Pizzeria Stores for a Bikes for Tykes program. It's a Realities for Children charities, and they buy helmets and bicycles for local children who have been abused or neglected or are at risk for being abused and neglected. It's a great cause. 100% of all the donated funds will go to the kids. And so they're doing a variety of things. They're going to have a big event on Friday night at the Hooters restaurant up in Loveland. But they could certainly use help with silent auction items or cash donations. You can just drop by. Or you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com and I'll get you connected. But I would highly recommend helping these little kids out. And thank you to Hooters Restaurants for doing that. Secondly, you guys, Christmas is just 2 weeks away. Can you believe it? And so let's enjoy this time, this holiday time. New Year's, it's right around the corner. But January 8th, the fight begins. That is the day that this legislature goes into session. And we are having our Stand for Colorado rally, our 2020 rally. It'll be on January 8th, 11 o'clock. On the west steps of the Capitol, and start to prepare now. If you need to take a little time off extra for lunch, get your mittens and your muffler and your hat and be ready to be there, because we need to show them that we are watching. Because if they think that we don't care, if they don't think that we're really watching them, then they're going to continue on. But at least we need to show up. Somebody said the other night to me, Kim, does it really matter? They don't listen. But Patty, I think it does matter.
It absolutely does. If nobody shows up or if we're not active within the Capitol during the session, they really will think we don't care. The impact that we had last year was noteworthy. Even from what I had heard was that there was a lot of talk about, we've never seen so many people inside the Capitol. They are watching us. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of fear put into our state elected officials because of our presence.
So day one, we're going to be there. So that's put that on your calendar, January 8th and 11 o'clock, West Steps of the Capitol. And be there or be square. And then third, we're starting our salon series in 2020. And on January 13th at Water's Edge Winery, Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice will be presenting their workshop. I guess it was standing room only at the Western Conservative Summit, The Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. And so, again, email me. We're going to get an Eventbrite up for that. But that should be pretty special as well. I know, Susan, you're going to be there.
Yes, I will be there. One word about January 8th event also. If you don't show up, that gives them then fodder to say, well, no one showed up. No one must care. You have to at least show up. Even if they keep passing this stuff, at least it takes that away from them.
And we'll have action items for things that we can do. And so be sure and be there. And I know, I mean, it's right around the corner. It seems like it's a long ways away, but it's right around the corner. So we'd love to have you there. Steve, I think what let's do, let's go to break early so that we can come back and let's talk about impeachment. I know you have a couple of sound bites. Yesterday was a historical day in the United States. And so let's go to break. When we come back, I've got Susan Kochevar and Patty Kurgan in studio. This is the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
I really can't
but
stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold.
Oh, we might just let that play. We're going to be the rebels and let that just play out. How does that sound? This is the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson, and we have in studio Susan Kochevar and Patty Kurgan. And before we went to break, we were talking about our Stand for Colorado rally. And, you know, I think people say, well, what does it matter if I show up? And Susan, you had made a comment that we need to show up. And then, Steve, we weren't even letting you talk. So you had a thought on that.
Well, I'm not here to talk, especially with three ladies. it occurred to me while you were talking about it, is like, I think sometimes the people under the Golden Dome depend on us not caring. Yeah, they factor it into what they're doing.
Well, and the other thing they do, and Susan, you alluded to this, we were talking it during break, and that is they create all these boards and commissions. They appoint the people to these boards and commissions. So in essence, the boards and commissions do their will. But yet, you may get to a meeting then and you say, well, you know, you may get like to the city council meeting, say, I am so concerned about this. And they're like, well, we had these boards and commissions meetings. Where were you? Where were you? You're like, well, I was working. I was taking care of my family. I really think we need to roll back these boards and commissions so that we hold these politicians that get into office accountable. We need to get back to representative government.
And to that point, how many people know that all of the State Board of Health and all these other, every single organization there is like that, has all their rule promulgation meetings. Who's ever even heard of that? I didn't for a long time, and that's where a lot of this sausage is made. And who can show up for all of that stuff? Think of all of the different entities that affect your business trying to show up to all that stuff and make your comment. And then you're only one business person.
You have 3 minutes. And you have 3 minutes. And you may have to sit there for hours. And Patty, I think you may, I think I told you this, that I went down to testify regarding the rules on the, I think it was the zero emission vehicles. And they said they were going to have public comment, I think, from like 6 to 8. And I got there at 7:15 because I had other things to do. I was working. And apparently nobody else, or very few people were there at 6. They didn't stay till 8. I got there and they closed shop. You know, and here I'd driven all the way down there.
It's awful.
You know, okay. So let's jump in here. Yesterday, impeachment. It's astonishing what is happening in America today. But let's start off with these sound bites that you have for us, Steve.
Okay, here's probably the one that's gotten the most airtime. And again, I beg people to listen and then read between the lines.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
That was Senator Al Green from Texas, or Congressman.
Representative Al Green from Texas. And yes. Again, read between the lines. What is he saying there? He's saying, if I can paraphrase, we need a way to short circuit the vote.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, the other bite I have is much more newer than that. Remember, we have two AOCs here on the Kim Munson Show. The good AOC.
Amy Oliver Cook.
Thank you. And then the bad AOC. And this is her flapping her gums.
We also need to move quite quickly because we're talking about the potential compromise of the 2020 elections. And so this is not just about something that has occurred. This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
What do you think she means by that, Steve?
What's my question to you guys? What potentially disastrous outcome could a Democrat possibly think could happen in 2020?
That Donald Trump gets reelected?
Absolutely. But look, again, she's just as bad as Al Green in this particular quote. It's like, we've got to find a way. Now, if I haven't made your day yet, here is another villain on the scene, new to this story. Another representative, Democrat Karen Bass from California. But she says she's open to impeach Trump again if he gets reelected in 2020, guaranteeing more dysfunction and less.
For what? So they already wanted to impeach him. They were just trying to find a way to do that. So, ladies, I know that you both have been watching this. We haven't talked a lot about this whole impeachment thing just because there's so many different things to talk about. But today it's happened. So, Susan, I know that you're very concerned about it.
Yeah, I'm wondering how many listeners are as frustrated with it as I am. I'm just up over my eyebrows with it. I saw an article in the American Thinker yesterday, and this is the first time I've started to see this stuff really bubble up everywhere, but they're talking about the Democrats pushing us into civil war. And if they don't stop, I fear that's what will happen, which would be tragic. Those civil wars don't usually end in more freedom. But I'm just very concerned. And these statements that Steve played for us, I think, speak to the Democrats' arrogance and lust for power. I'm very concerned.
Yeah, they are way beyond wanting to represent everyday hardworking Americans. It is all about power. Patty, what's your thoughts about what happened yesterday?
It's about power and control, and they know better than us. And I thought it was interesting. Charles Kirk with Turning Point last night put out a tweet, and he said, here we have a Congress with a 9% approval rating who's trying to get rid of a president through impeachment who has a 52% approval rating now, and he was elected by 63 million Americans, and over 51% of the voting public does not want to proceed with this impeachment. So it goes back to power, control. We know better. Just let us handle it. You little people over, just stand over there in the corner and don't worry about anything because we know what we're doing.
But give us your money.
Give us your money. Yeah, work for us. Work for us and give us your money. But yeah. But we are the educated elites, and mm-hmm. we know better how to live your life,
experts.
How you should live your lives. And Donald Trump comes along, and, you know, this has been a long time in coming. And it actually, I think, has occurred under both sides of the aisle in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been a long time in coming about people that think that they know better how to govern your life than you do. But yes, give us your money. And that's, we're Americans. I mean, We stand on the shoulders of giants. You look at the farmers and the merchants that stood against the British in the Revolutionary War for freedom. You look at the Civil War, where we ask this question whether or not slavery would go into the territories, and we needed to keep the country united. And there was so much blood and treasure that was given for that. And in World War I, World War II, our soldiers now, Americans stand against tyranny and evil. And tyranny and evil are very well, very closely connected. And I feel like this has been happening for a while. I could feel myself getting more and more concerned, and more as we saw more and more government moving more and more to the administrative state where you needed to be compliant. I mean, you see this all the time in your business, Susan. Compliant, compliant, compliant. If you're not compliant, then there will be a fee or a penalty. And I think that we're at the tipping point. Donald Trump comes in, he comes down the escalator, and he says, I'm going to work for you. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole new message. So, Susan, your comment on that.
Yeah, it looks like he's starting to smash everything that was set up. Having somebody that wasn't stuck already in the status quo, I think, is the very best thing that could happen to us. And if you look at his speeches in 2016, before he was elected, he seems to understand that there's a massive problem with all this bureaucracy and everything that's been going on, and wants to smash it. They're very, they're actually very powerful speeches. You know, he wasn't my guy, and you get so used to political speeches that,
yeah.
Okay, he meant it. And to your point about on both sides, I hear Republicans talk about compliance, and that's a big problem. There's a good number of them that want to dictate your life their way, too. And that's a very bad problem. It's hard to separate friend or foe that way. In the words of Grover Norquist, keep your hand off the murder weapon.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Patty, your thoughts.
I keep thinking about the statement where it's Donald Trump. They're really not after me. They're after you. The problem is I'm standing between you and them, and that's why they're going after me. And I've been looking, you know, in what's been happening in the last couple of months, and I'm very concerned about two factors. One is that they allowed hearsay in the hearing.
Can you believe that?
Right. And my question is this the left saying, okay, let's try this in the courtroom as well, that it's okay that we have hearsay as part of the evidence, which is totally wrong. And then the other aspect is the phone records without a subpoena. Oh. Mm-hmm. So if they can do that to Nunes and a reporter and you know, show host, that means that they can come after us too on anything. So really, I mean, Trump is right. I really believe the ultimate goal is to go after us, because then if they have us, they have the power, they have the control, and then they can dictate what their agenda is and silence us.
Well, and if Hillary Clinton would have been elected, it would have finished their agenda, I think. And so what you're mentioning, Patty, I think most people know this, but about, what, a few weeks before they started this whole whistleblower thing, Adam Schiff changed the rules that hearsay could be admitted as testimony instead of, you know, firsthand knowledge. And then guess what? We have a whistleblower that comes in with secondhand knowledge. And the other thing is just last week, Adam Schiff went to phone companies, AT&T, I know for sure, that he requested phone records for several different people. AT&T gave them to him without a warrant, and then he released them. I mean, this is banana republic stuff. I mean, it's astonishing. Steve, I thought that you had something that you wanted to add into this, and then we'll get with John Buckingham from Presidential Wealth Management.
You know me, I'm always picking on the electorate in terms of their general lack of involvement in what's going on. To what Patty just said, when Trump makes that statement, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, I just happen to be in the way. And I get the sense that there's a lot of people out there who don't have a clue what that means. What do you mean they're coming after me? They are so oblivious to what has been going on for the last 10 to 12 years. They have no idea how deep the government's in their pocket. Yes, they like to complain about tax day and all that kind of stuff, but it's quickly forgotten.
Well, that's why we do this show, and that is why we're engaging in this battle of ideas, because words are very powerful. You know, basically, Ronald Reagan brought down the Berlin Wall with words. And that's why we are in this battle of ideas. There's another, you know, there's another big battle. And I know, Susan, being a small business person, this is so of such great concern, and that is this forced minimum wage.
Absolutely.
And we'll be talking about that in the third and fourth segment, and also this family leave proposal that may be coming down the pike. But we have on the line with us one of Jason McBride's buddies over at Presidential Wealth Management, and that's John Buckingham. Welcome, John. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing just fine. And we wanted to ask you about your thoughts on forced minimum wage.
Well, I think bottom line, when you increase the minimum wage for the unskilled worker, then those that are semi-skilled and skilled, well, they want to be compensated accordingly. So if you give a 20% raise to minimum wage, those semi-skilled and skilled workers are going to want the same thing. So if you just raise the entire wage scale, you're effectively increasing the cost of all goods and services, and thus you're not really getting any additional purchasing power necessarily out of that. When you also look at, you know, the federal side should be based on the lowest cost of living area in the country. And then states and municipalities can adjust if needed. But, you know, it's ridiculous to try and say minimum wage in San Francisco should be the same as Mobile, Alabama. It just doesn't work.
Well, and you know, John, I don't like government getting in between the employer and the employee, because as you mentioned, typically, you know, your entry level is somewhat unskilled. I jokingly say my first job was at Daylight Donut and Chicken Inn. Jokingly, I say I should have paid them instead of them paying me, because they had to train me. I had to learn a whole bunch of different things, but I learned things like that. And so I really think government should just be out of that and let the employer and the employee come together and make an agreement on what they want to pay. Because what I see, John, with forced minimum wage is it's going to prevent a lot of those kids getting their first jobs. And if they don't get that first job, it's difficult to get the second job.
Exactly. I mean, when I look back when I was a kid a long, long time ago, you know, I had my first job when I was 11. You can't do that anymore. And it's the government forcing kids to say, no, you can't do it before 16 unless you have certain circumstances. The same thing, like you said, with minimum wage, that originally came out at a time when it was needed because there really weren't that many labor laws in place to kind of protect employees. And now we've got an overabundance of labor laws that do protect them. And so the minimum wage is going to set itself. I mean, you drive by a Chick-fil-A here now, and they're offering starting of $16 an hour because they can't find employees, and so they have to. And so you don't need to force that issue unless you see an abuse of power by an employer in a certain area, and then you can implement something if you see that, or you can just go after that particular employer rather than forcing everyone to a set wage scale.
Well, and you know, the other thing on that, John, is that if in fact, of course, we have a great jobs numbers last week, and if you have an employer, particularly in a situation where, you know, the economy is booming and there's more and more demand for labor, if you have an employer that's abusing their workforce, I ultimately, you know, in a free market, people can leave, and that employer will, you know, have to adjust and treat his employees better, or he'll go out of business. I think free market ultimately could probably help it out. Don't you think? What do you think, John?
Well, I think absolutely, especially in a tight labor market. As you mentioned, a tight labor market, an employee is going to walk and have a job the next day, given the abundance of jobs that are out there right now and people looking. It's just a question of, do you have the skill set necessary? And, you know, some sectors and industries are more desperate for employees than others. But, yeah, when you look at it, it just comes down to, you know, what that market is willing to dictate. And if it's not the wage that you want, is it because you don't have the skill set, or because, you know, you're looking at a job that you're just, you know, not qualified for? You know, so.
Well, and one other thing, John, don't you remember, I mean, when we were kids, if you didn't have the skill set, you might work your day job, and then you might go to school at night, you might, you know, do training at night to make yourself more valuable. I'll just tell a quick story, and then we'll go to break. One of my first jobs, I worked at a bank, and they asked me, and this was back in the old days where people typed. And John, they asked me how fast I could type, and I gave them a pretty pretty hefty number. I thought I could type that fast. And so I get the job, and I'm typing a loan document. And it's like taking me all morning. And my boss came over, and he looked at me, and I said, you know, I think I need to bone up on my typing. And so I ended up taking typing classes, you know, several nights a week so that I could get better. But to my point is you can actually improve your skills. I'm kind of embarrassed now that I shared that with all of you guys. So.
No, not at all. But that's just it, is that minimum wage jobs, as you said earlier, you are kind of getting that benefit of the training from that company. That's the whole purpose of a minimum wage job for the most part. There are some jobs out there that pay minimum wage, that, you know, restaurants, whatnot, that, you know, they're assuming the tips are going to come into play. But yeah, you need to go out and develop skill sets. Minimum wage jobs are not meant to be the breadwinning income coming in for a family. There's not. They're designed for those entry-level people trying to gain skill sets, and that's why they get paid less, is because they're needing to be trained, and that
exactly.
costs the employer too. So yeah,
exactly. And the other thing on minimum, so, you know, back when I was, you know, first starting out, you know, maybe I was paid a little bit more than minimum wage, but not much. And so to get my housing affordable, I had roommates, you know, so there's ways to do that. It's like government doesn't need to get involved in all that. But John, just quickly, you know, I could not believe that Christmas is 2 weeks from today, and people need, there's some things they need to be doing on their finances between now and the end of the year. And you guys and gals over at Presidential Wealth Management can sit down, help folks take a look at where they're at. It doesn't cost anything. It's a discovery session. And I would highly recommend people reach out to you.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. And I do think that anyone out there needs to do a review at the year end just to make sure that, you know, they're taking advantage of tax situations, making sure RMDs are taken care of. There's a lot to go over. And so, yeah, definitely give us a call and we can certainly help you out.
Sounds great. And the phone number is 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600. Natalie will be there at 7:30, and the website is airpresidential.com, airpresidential.com. And John Buckingham, we get to talk to you again tomorrow morning.
Yes, we do.
You have a great day.
You too.
Okay, thanks
Bye.
So much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we have Susan Kochevar and Patty Kurgan in studio. You're both entrepreneurs, you're businesswomen, and we've got to talk about some things that the legislature, they've been kind of thinking about it all over the summer, and what that might do. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back. It is Christmas time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell.
Oh, I love all these songs. Charlie is so good at choosing all this bumper music. Welcome back. I'm Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. In studio with me, businesswomen and entrepreneurs, Susan Kochevar and Patty Kurgan. And Steve is running the board. And we've got you whipped up this morning. I can just tell there's steam coming out of those ears over there. So what do you want to say, Steve?
Well, where you guys are about to go with family leave and what's the other?
Forced minimum wage.
Okay. Well, all these things, I keep coming back to this, we're buying some votes. Do we really care about fixing problems? As John just said, forced minimum wage doesn't fix anything.
Right.
So, but it does buy votes.
Aha. And so that's why we do the show, is to explain that. Okay. Patty, family leave. And if you see it's capital F-A-M-L-I. They wanted to pass this last year. I know that they've been talking about it over the summer. I saw a presentation on it on Monday morning. It is bad, 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 but they're trying to make it sound good, good, good. So tell us why it's bad, bad, bad.
Well, I always go back to just the very basic concept of the employer-employee relationship. We do not need the government to come in. Going back to the quote that you started with this morning, you said, by the work, we know the workmen. Not everybody works and produces the same, and they should be compensated according to what they do produce. So with the family paid leave, with minimum wage, things like that, they're truly trying to do a one-size-fits-all. And I look at that as they're really telling the employee, you don't really have to worry about what you produce and how effective your work is because we're guaranteeing you this pay.
And we're guaranteeing it by using government policy to force somebody to pay you that, right?
Exactly. Whereas like Susan or myself and other employers, they're with inside the walls of the business. They know what people are doing, how productive they are, and we want to reward people accordingly. So if somebody truly just comes in and does the basic job set, fine, that is their salary. But if somebody's doing the same thing but producing twice as much, I feel obligated that I should pay that person more. And even when we start the negotiation from at the very beginning in terms of how much to pay, it's many factors, including what are the benefits. So a lot of companies already have paid family leave. We don't have to mandate that. And so if I'm the person seeking a job, I can put that on the table as one of the factors that I like or dislike about this company and whether or not I want to be a part of it. And so we have that element. And then the other element that just really is mind-boggling is the cost. So when they were talking about it in the last session, they were like, at most, it would cost $1 billion.
With a B,
which is a lot. So they have had a task force because they couldn't get the bill.
A task force,
right?
There you go.
Here we're going, right? So how many people out there know that there's been a task force? They started in July to discuss what the elements of this paid family leave should be. They've had a lot of discussion. They've had a hard time coming to a majority vote. It took them over two meetings just to decide how many votes they needed to pass a policy idea, right? So just last week or the week before, they had hired an actuary, and he came back with just recently with what the cost would be. And he said on the low end, it will be $1.1 billion. And on the high end, it could be $2.2 billion, double.
That's a pretty big swing.
All right.
It's a pretty big swing.
Plus, he notes, and I'm quoting him, although we believe that the assumptions and methods we used, and of course our projections, are reasonable, we could still be way off in predicting the future. So we all know that the 2.2 is low, and it's going to be a lot higher.
Okay, you know, let's keep that there for right now. Chris Cantwell is on the line. He is also one of my valued partners. And Chris, I know you'd like to weigh in on this forced minimum wage and this family leave as well. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, Kim, great to hear from you this morning. You know, I saw a recent article about the possible restaurant recession that's coming, and it's directly related to all these cities that are passing these huge minimum wage increases that directly affect employers and employees, and it makes it difficult to hire those younger employees, like I talked about last time, the 16 and 17 year olds that only want to work a couple of hours a week, and they struggle with that. It's hard to pay a teenager a quote unquote living wage. So it's definitely a challenge. It's definitely a challenge for restaurants. It's a challenge for the operators and the business owners. And you know, you throw things on top of that, like forced health care and paid time off and all these other things. And, you know, that dollar hamburger that you're getting at McDonald's is soon going to be a $5 hamburger on the value menu.
Well, and then people can't afford it, and so they'll start to eat at home more often, which means that many of these businesses will go out of business. And so then ultimately it'll be a job-killing thing. And they say it to help people, Chris, but I can't figure it out. We're sitting here. I mean, you work with businesses all the time. You help people buy and sell businesses. You know, Patty and Susan are businesswomen. I, for the life of me, I cannot figure out why the legislature won't listen. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. There's an economic gap that's missing there in terms of the unintended consequences of the decisions they make. And, you know, they're always talking about, well, you know, we have all these homeless and they can't get jobs and they can't afford a place to live. It's a direct impact of raising things like the
public policy.
At the end of the day, that affects the consumer.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. So, hey, we're going to go to break here in just a minute, Chris. But, you know, one of the things, you are an entrepreneur. I just love the way you talk because you're always looking at, you know, all the opportunity out there. So you have some opportunities that people, you know, if they're looking to buy a business, to buy cash flow for retirement or whatever, they can go to your website, right, and find different opportunities?
Yep, absolutely. They can see the different listings that we have. We've got over 200 listings right now in our inventory of available opportunities, and that's exciting. We've got great opportunities for first-time business owners. We've got great opportunities for business owners that want to do something new, maybe sell their business and start something new or buy a new acquisition or grow via an acquisition. We've got so many opportunities. It's great. So it's the right time to potentially put your market on or put your business on the market. If a sale is in the future for you, feel free to reach out and ask me some questions about that. I'm always happy to help. And if you're looking to buy a business, talk to me about that as well.
Okay. And how can people find you or reach
you? The best way is to call me, 844-SELL-BIZ, S-E-L-L-B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ is a great way to get a hold of me.
Chris Cantwell, thanks so much. I appreciate your partnership. You have a great day. Merry Christmas, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Susan, we've got to get you to jump in here on this as well. And just a quick point on this family leave. This is government that is forcibly going to be taking money out of your paycheck and also having your employer pay not a tax, because then we get to vote on it, a fee. So that would mean that your employer couldn't pay you more as well. This would go to a fee. And they're talking about paid time off of 4 months. So your employee is going to pay, your employer will pay somebody over here for not working. They'd have to go out and hire somebody else to do that work. And it's all done under the guise of a fee so that they don't even have to ask us. Now, Susan, now that I've gotten your blood pressure going, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to hear what you have to say about that. This is the Kim Munson Show. We will be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. In studio with me are business women, entrepreneurs, Susan Kochevar with the 88 Drive-In Theater and Patty Kurgan. We were talking about this family leave potential legislation that may be coming down the pike in 2020. They had a tax force that was meeting all summer long. And so this was unelected people, right?
Correct. Patty?
Okay. Unelected people working all summer long, and they've come up with, you know, maybe a proposal, but you had a point that you wanted to make on that.
I want your listeners to know that they will be paying for this. This will come out of their paycheck. Initially, they're saying a 60% pay by the employee, 40% by the employer. I think as time goes on, they'll be getting more money out of the employer's pocket.
And probably that rate will go up too, right?
Exactly. But a lot of employees really have no desire to have a paid family leave. They don't want, you know, it's one thing to see your coworker take 4 to 6 months off for a new child, but knowing that you're paying for them to take that 4 to 6 months off is going to really hit some employees and create a little bit of animosity there.
It will. I was just, as you were mentioning that, I'm just thinking about what that might start to do in the workplace. I mean, if somebody feels that they're paying for somebody else not to work, it's not good for employee relations, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of single people out there, and they're like, wow, I wish I could take 4 to 6 months off. That's one thought. If this goes forward next year, people are going to like, and I'm paying for them to take that 4 to 6 months off. I wonder how I can maybe get 4 or 6 months off. What can I finagle?
Yeah, and people will start to figure that out. Susan, I know you had some questions for Patty.
Yeah, just a few things. I'm not exactly sure how that's all going to work. So if I'm understanding correctly, as the employer, I'm going to have 2 people for every job I need done.
Exactly, because if you have somebody who's taking 4 to 6 months off and you need an employee to do that work, you will have to hire somebody to take that place. And you have to make sure that when that absent employee or the employee taking the paid leave, when they come back, you have to keep that job open. So when they come back, they get that job automatically.
What happens to the other person then?
Well, I guess you'll either have to fire them or, you know, and then if you fire them, that will hit your unemployment insurance,
yep,
which is another factor, and I'm just going to throw it out. We don't need to talk about it. But right now, we're 400. There was an article in the DBJ, and they said
Business Journal.
Right. They need $400 million to go into that fund. So they're looking at raising the base salary so that they can have additional funds. They don't have enough.
The base salary that they'll tax, right?
Right. Right now, it's just a little over $13,000 of what they're taxed on. But they're going to have to bring it up because they're about $400 million short in the reserves.
So that'll be another higher tax over here.
On the employer. So it's, you know, it goes back to how much can you put on in an employer where you think they can stay in business, or as we were talking earlier, you're going to have that $5 or $6 dollar hamburger. So even when they're saying that you're helping the low-skilled worker, you're really not, because his or her expenses are going to go up in her life, his or her life, because they're going to go to McDonald's and they're going to be paying $5 instead of a dollar. It's not that simplistic. The cost of living will definitely go up because, as Susan and I know, as an employer, there's only so many costs you can absorb before you have to pass it on to your client base. And then it just spreads out.
You know, so what we're seeing here, Susan, is government policy is making things more and more expensive. We're just talking about a couple of things here.
Right.
But I know a lot of young moms that they actually would love to stay home with their children instead of getting paid time off. And so what I'm seeing here, and Steve alluded to vote buying, but as we make the cost of living more and more expensive via government policy, this isn't about helping people. This is increasing tax revenue. This is increasing government's ability to take more and more money out of people's pockets. So they don't want to keep costs down so that people could actually save up and maybe go take care of their parent or whatever that might need help, or to take time off with a child. They want to keep these people in the workforce so they can keep working, so they can get more and more payroll taxes.
Well, all that's going to happen is we're going to have massive unemployment because that essentially doubles my costs if I have to have two employees for one job. That is completely unworkable. You will not have a small business of any kind left if that goes through. So you will have a massive class of people who are unemployed and just voting for government promises, I guess, is what they're thinking. I can only charge so much for movies before people stop coming.
Because they won't be able to afford it.
They won't be able to afford it. It's, you know, all of these things we're talking about that are supposed to help, citizens, it's just a buoy in the water. When you charge business, make their operating expenses higher, they have to raise their prices. Money does not grow on trees. I know it's a shock. All of the money that I make comes from my customers. All of it. So,
And the other thing, too, is, you're initially they're talking 60% of whatever tax they have. Initially, they said it would never be higher than 1%, but even on the low end, at the $1.1 billion, it's going to have to be around 1.2%. So the fact of the matter is, why not? It can't come from the employer because we're not really supposed to interfere in their home decisions. If the government wants to do anything, have them do a one-page sheet encouraging employees that, you know what, in the future you may need funds for an emergency. So the emergency is not just for a relative that is sick, but if you need emergency funds, you should think about saving 1% of your paycheck per week. And so then it puts the responsibility back onto the employee and their own personal circumstances instead of involving the employer and the government. And this really goes back to power and control and dollars.
Well, and government program, those people, they don't work for free. And so this money that's going to be collected or would be collected from a payroll tax, you know, you're going to be paying an unelected person to administer this. And those costs just go up as well.
It's not just a person. So I did read through the fiscal note for the bill that they proposed, and it was over 250 employees that they would have to have in this department, this new department that they're forming, to administer all the things that they need to do. So it's not a person or a few people. We're talking over 250 people, and you know that will only grow as time goes on.
So I have another question for Patty. Who are these people that are sitting on this task force? I heard from another friend who sat in on one of the meetings, and apparently when some of the business owners presented their side, the arrogance of these people, they called it minutia. So who are these people that are sitting on these boards? They've obviously never even run a lemonade stand.
Yeah, well, all I know is there's 13 members, 9 out of the 13 have either been appointed by the governor or Democratic leadership. And then the other 5 have come from, like, the minority speaker of both houses. And,
No business criteria, obviously.
Right.
Patty, one other thing. As we were working on fighting on Proposition CC, which was that request that the government, that the state of Colorado, could keep our Tabor tax refunds forever, you did an amazing amount of research on corporate welfare. And what we've seen is big corporations and big government like each other, because big corporations were getting breaks on their taxes. And it's the little guy, like you, Susan Kochevar, mm-hmm. that you pay full fare. You have to be compliant to everything. And you know, there's something that is inherently wrong with government coming in, picking in winners and losers, buying votes with what they say is good. Ultimately, this hurts everyday people. We need to say no to this. We're just about out of time. Susan, your final thought.
You're right. It hurts the individual. Every person coming out of school that wants to potentially start a business, you're crushed before you ever get out the door. Because the full weight of all the complying with all this is on you. It's impossible. I'm telling you now, no one is in compliance, and that's tyranny. They can come after you at any time they want, and they know it.
So nobody's in compliance because there's no way you can be. But then government can come in and they can say, I'm going to make, you know, check this business out, this one will just walk right on by.
That's right. Or your competitor has an in, too. If they don't like you, they either go to government or they report you for something.
Wow. Okay. Patty, final thought.
Show up, as we've been talking about all through this show. Go to find out what, pick your most important topic or two, issue, policy issue. Find out when the hearings are. Show up for those hearings. Come to the Stand for Colorado rally on January 8th. Let our legislators know that we are going to be watching them, and we're going to be watching them with, you know, all our might.
And that's why we do this show. Patty Kurgan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Susan Kochevar, great to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's do this again next month.
Let's.
How's that sound? Our quote for today, and I thought, and this is really apropos, and this is Jean de La Fontaine. He says, "Beware as long as you live of judging others according to appearance alone." I would say that we might take that to government as well.
Yes.
Let's judge on what's really going on instead of what the appearance is. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.